Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
This morning, let's go back, and I say back because we began a series. I wasn't sure if it was going to be, but it is going to be, on fears and the last days. Fears and the last days. And let's go to Luke chapter 21. We're just talking about all the all the things that are going on in the earth that's producing fear, and how you and I should approach these last days. It's exciting, if you know the Lord, to be in the last days. Or, like I said, literally where Paul said that in the last days certain things would happen. The literal Greek brings out that it's the last of the last days. Hallelujah. So the Bible, literally, it talks about, you know, since Jesus' resurrection, that we're in the last days. But then there's the last, the last of the last days. You and I are in the last of the last days.
Amen.
I almost believe we could say it like this, Pastor Chuck. We are in the last of the last of the last days. You know what I'm talking about? We are there. I mean, we can't get hardly any more last days than what we're living in right now. How do you know, Pastor? How do you know? Well, because there's signs. Right. Amen. There are signs. Look at verse 25, Luke 21. Notice this. And there shall be what?
Signs.
What are signs for? To show you, man. Yeah. Right? Signs. Yeah. See, you know what I'm saying? You see signs. Sometimes when I'm coming home from a trip, I like signs that say Evansville.
Yeah.
You know, I start seeing signs say Evansville. I know, thank God, we're at least somebody's recognizing Evansville. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
You know, so I like signs. Why? Because signs point the way. So there shall be signs. Well, Jesus gave us signs.
Yeah.
Right? He talked about different things, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places, wars, rumors of wars. Paul gave us, the Holy Spirit gave us sign. He said, men shall be lovers of their own self, lovers of pleasures, etc., etc. Heady, headstrong, you know, unreconcilable, things like that. And then the Father gave us signs. He said, in the last days, I'll pour out my Spirit.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, I don't know about you, but all the signs that were given, I see them.
Yeah. Right.
I see them. You know, and I believe, you know, I don't know when the Lord's coming back, but I do believe this. I believe that, you know, there's a real good possibility that before He returns, that even in America, we're going to see a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And it's happening in some other countries. It's happening. China's experiencing revival. I've never been there, but, I've heard of people, and then poor Pastor Ingolf, who comes here and preaches from Germany. He's preached in China. And he talked about the hunger of the Chinese people and the commitment of the Chinese people to God, the church there. And so there is an outpouring of the Spirit. And of course, there's been an outpouring of the Spirit going on for a long time. See, if we're a little older, we go back and we remember the charismatic revival. We remember the word movement. We remember these outpourings of the Spirit. And so, thank God, we're at the very end of this, and that shouldn't frighten us. That should excite us.
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah. And so he said in verse 25, we're talking about fears and the last days. If I was going to put a subtitle on this morning, I'd call it keeping yourself in faith.
Amen.
Keeping yourself in faith. Now, verse 25, he said, there shall be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Well, I mean, we're seeing all this right now. The distress of nations, the perplexity, which means to be at a loss, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after or the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. So literally, it's going to get so bad that men's hearts will fail them. They'll fail them for fear. For the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Now, what does that mean? In the last days, everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. But thank God we're in the church. And the writer of Hebrews says, we've received a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So as long as we're in the church, we're not going to be shaken. Hallelujah. But we got to keep ourselves, and I mean this in more than one way. We need to physically keep ourselves in the church, but we need to walk like we're in the church. We need to believe like we're in the church. We need to think like the church. Amen. And verse 27, after all this, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things began to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. Notice he said to us, the church, when these things began to come to pass. Well, they've already begun. So what did he tell us to do? Look up. Lift your heads up. Come on, church. Get your head up. Why? For our redemption is right at hand. Hallelujah. What's Jesus saying? Well, here's what he's saying. He's saying all these things that are coming on the earth, they're going to be so, the earth is going to be so violent, and the tragedies and the calamities and the destruction is going to be so bad that men's hearts will fail them for fear for what's coming. Literally. But he said to us, if you want to just say it in a sentence, he said to us, keep yourselves in faith. Remember Jesus said this, even in his own teaching. He said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? What's he talking about? See, all the negative stuff that's happening will strip people of their faith, but it shouldn't strip us of our faith. Hallelujah. Why? Because we got promises. Amen. See, God hasn't given us. Anybody know the rest of that verse? The spirit of fear. Well, who's us? Us is the church. God hasn't given the church the spirit of fear. What's he given us? Power, love, and a sound mind. What else has he given us? Promises. What else has he given us? You know, the Holy Spirit. We could go on and on, but I got to get done here. Let me tell you something else he's given us. Paul said to the church at Corinth, we having the same spirit of faith. Hallelujah. We don't have the spirit of fear. We have the spirit of faith. So we ought to be walking by faith. Now, you can't just make faith up. You got to base faith on something. What gives us faith? The faith cometh by and hearing by. So faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That means we ought to find ourselves in God's book, finding out what He's promised us and the protection that we have. Amen. Are you listening now? See, we have, you know, all the, you think, you know, people, we got the taste of COVID, and you think that's the last pandemic coming to the world? Of course not. It's not even the first. There's been plenty before that. But I do believe that it's going to accelerate in these last days. That's why we got to know, man, our protection promises. We got to know Psalm 91. We got to know 1 Peter 2:24, by His stripes I was healed. We got to know these verses. These verses can't just be head knowledge. They got to get down in our heart where we're living and praise God. They come out of our mouth. Amen. So when the news media spouts at you what kind of destruction's coming your way, you can just stand up and say, it shall not come nigh my dwelling. That's right. Hallelujah! That's right. I'm redeemed. And even if trouble does come my way, the Bible says He would be with me in trouble and He would deliver me. Right. Hallelujah! So you can fire your best shot, devil, but it's not going to stick because I'm a faith person. Yeah. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So what you give your attention to, see, that's going to decide whether you have faith or fear. If you give your attention to what God said, you're going to have faith. If you give your attention to what the devil says, what the news media says, what what going on in our world, you're going to have fear. Do you know? Now, there's a lot of bad things going on, but did you know the media makes things that aren't so bad really bad? Because it's sensational. Even our own local media, God bless them, they do that. I've seen some of their articles, some of their reporting. There's protests going down at this on at the Civic Center, and you finally get a full shot of everybody there, and there's six people. I can get six people, get mad over anything. I can find six people, we go to Taco Bell and save the taco shells. See, it's like, this is crazy. It's not even worthy of reporting, but yet you're blowing it up like it's a big news story. It's like one guy said, you know, he was a famous guy, famous political commentator. And he said, you know, I spoke in this city, and the news media that covered it, the major news network, ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, MSLSD, all of those that covered that, he said, they didn't talk about my speech. They didn't talk about any of that. He said, they talked about the protesters that were there. He said, I drove through the protesters. There were three. So we have to understand, we can't pay any attention to that. We got to pay attention to the Word of God. Amen. Glory be to God. Now, go to Genesis chapter 3. We're talking about keeping yourself in faith. So we're going to talk a little bit about fear this morning and its origins and why we need to avoid it. Amen. Now, you understand, you know, when the Bible says fear not, how many know the Bible says fear not? And it says that, I'm thinking, if I remember right, if I've got it right, I think it says that 366 times. Some form of that. Fear not, do not fear, do not be afraid. You know what I'm saying? Some form of that. The Bible tells us, don't fear, don't fear. Well, why would God say it? Because God's vehemently against it. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean we don't ever feel fear. It just means we face it and deal with it. Right? You know, someone, whoever gave me that coffee cup, I don't know who you are, but I use it a lot. I like it. It's John Wayne. And he said this, this isn't a Bible quote, but it's pretty cool. He said, courage is being scared to death and saddling up anyway. Yes. What does he mean? You may be afraid, but you're not going to let fear dictate to you. You're going to face it. Amen. Right? Amen. Now, there's some things, you know, that we need to ask ourselves. Why am I afraid of this? See, when we're afraid, it's because we don't have any faith. See, faith and fear don't coexist. If you have faith, fear goes. If you have fear, faith goes. Remember when Peter was walking on the water? How many know he was doing that by faith, wasn't he? Because to do that, to get out of the boat, it would take faith. But then the Bible said he saw the waves boisterous. He saw how bad it was outside. And the Bible said, and being afraid, he began to sink. What happened? His faith left. They don't coexist. Jesus one time was with his disciples, and they were in this boat, and they were going someplace, and a great storm of wind, the Bible says, blew up. And the Bible says their boat began to fill, was already full. Now, how many know these men, some of them, are commercial fishermen? They've been out here before. How many believe that they probably knew when they were in trouble? Right? They would know, right? Because that's what they did for a living. So Peter, James, and John, and I don't know, maybe Andrew, that's what they did for a living. So they wake Jesus up. Now get this. All this is going on, and Jesus is asleep. That tells me Jesus is a sound sleeper. He probably snored. Nothing in the Bible against snoring. And so he says, what that tells me he's not in fear, right? See, what happened was Jesus is in the same storm as his disciples are in. But the difference is the storm's not in Jesus. It's on the outside. And they wake him up. It's just like, how's a guy sleep through this? They wake him up and say, Master, don't you care? And like a friend of mine said, if you have to wake somebody up to ask them if they care, they probably don't. Of course, he cared about their welfare, but he wasn't in fear about it. Now, what did he do? Remember what he did? He got up on the bow of the boat. He rebuked the wind, spoke to the sea, said, peace be still. And immediately there was a great calm. And then he looked at his disciples and he rebuked them. He said, why are you so fearful? Where is your faith? Now, I don't believe he was upset with them because they were exaggerating. They were in trouble. I believe his problem he had was that they didn't do the same thing he did. They didn't face their fear with faith because Jesus said, let us go to the other side. And if he said, we're going to the other side, how many know where you're going? You're going to the other side. Sometimes I will use that phrase. If I'm traveling, maybe going to a foreign country, I will say, I'm going to the other side. Hallelujah. Now, look at this. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, the Bible says, it's about Adam and Eve in the garden. It says, they heard the voice of the Lord God. Notice this. In the garden, in the cool of the day. That's a good time. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Now, how many know you've already got issues if you're trying to hide from God behind a tree? Okay. All right, I'll leave that alone. Anyway, verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam, he said unto him, where are you? Now, it wasn't like he didn't know, but it's like you do your kids. What have you done? You already know, but you want them to confess what they've done. And he said, I heard your voice in the garden. Now, notice this. And I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Now, let me ask you something. Where in the world did he pick up this I was afraid? You think he got that from God? I don't think so. God's not afraid of anything? That is not a part of redemption vocabulary. That's not Kingdom of God vocabulary. Kingdom of God vocabulary, we can find it many places, is don't be afraid. As a matter of fact, if he hadn't have done this, there wouldn't have been any need to even have the word afraid. Right? See, there's some languages, they don't even have words for certain things. A guy said he was preaching in one country and he mentioned prosperity. They don't have a word for prosperity. They didn't have a word for prosperity. They need a word for prosperity. I remember one time being in a certain country, and they didn't have a word for a revolving door. It's like the translator just got lost. What? You know what a revolving door? You know the kind you get in and okay. They didn't know what they didn't have a word for that. There's certain words. Well, the kingdom of God doesn't. The kingdom of God has got a certain vocabulary, and being afraid isn't one of the vocabulary. Our vocabulary is be not afraid. Amen. So let me just ask you this. Where did Adam get this I'm afraid stuff from? That came from the kingdom of darkness. That came when he sinned and the devil became god of this world. According to the Corinthians, the book of Corinthians, Paul said he's the god of this age. So that came from the devil. That came from the kingdom of darkness. That didn't come from the kingdom of God. God never told Adam, now be afraid of the snakes. Be afraid. No, he didn't tell him be afraid of anything. That came from the kingdom of darkness. Now, there is something in the Bible that Bible teachers know about, or at least some do. It's called the law of Genesis. Now, the law of Genesis means when you find something in its origins, its beginnings, that reveals the law about the thing. In other words, the book of Genesis is the book of beginnings. Genesis means beginnings. So we find out right here in the beginning when Adam sinned how the kingdom of darkness operates. It operates by fear. But it's very plain when we study our Bible that God's kingdom operates by faith. Amen? See, these are just opposites. See, the kingdom of darkness, fear. God's kingdom, faith. Adam and Eve lost their faith when they connected with the devil. And it was replaced with fear. I was afraid. I mean, there wasn't anything to be afraid of in the garden. It was a place of bliss. Hallelujah. Come on, it was a wonderful place to be. There wasn't anything to be afraid of. God put everything in there to bless mankind. But when Adam allowed Satan access through his disobedience, now fear is in that garden. And it didn't come from God. Amen. See, fear, in your Bible, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So it's the substance of things hoped for. Did I say not hoped for? I hope I did. It's the substance of things hoped for. How many know fear is the substance of things not hoped for? Right? See, look like this. Look at it this way. Faith is having confidence in the positive. Fear in the negative. They're what we call, have you ever heard the term reciprocal? Reciprocal laws are inverted. Now, what does that mean? Well, it just means they deal with the same issues, but they're going different directions. Right, north and south are directions on the map. But if you want to go to Canada, you better go north. See, they deal with directions, but one will take you to Canada. One can take you to Mexico. Amen. There's east and west. There's East Evansville, and then there's West Siders. I love everybody. No prejudice here. But have you know, there are directions. I don't go towards the sun when it's setting to get home. I go away from the sun. Because I'm on the far east side. Hallelujah. You can see Canaan's land from my house, Warwick County. Hallelujah. I mean, I'm that close. I'm that close to the edge that I can just about throw a rock over into Warwick County. Now, so anyway, what I'm saying, see, what about like love and hate? They both are dealing with how you feel about something. But one's going one way, one's going the other way. How about death and life? How about healing and sickness? Poverty and prosperity? Righteousness and sin? See, they're dealing with issues, but one's going one way, one's going the other way. Faith and fear, they're dealing, they will determine what you have in life, but one's going one way, one's going the other way. One's going to bring you to blessing, one's going to bring you to destruction. Men's hearts failing them for fear. Peter sunk because he feared. See, they produce the wrong. One produces good, one produces bad. Amen. And so we have to know that. Now, Job said something. Let's go there. We got a little bit of time left. Let's go there to Job chapter 3, if you would. If you have your Bible with you. If not, just listen to Scripture. Job chapter 3. Job chapter 3. I want to read one scripture, one verse out of the book of Job. Thank God we don't have to be afraid in these last days. Now, this isn't a gloom and doom message. I hope you don't take it that way. But listen, we haven't seen anything yet, according to the Word. But here's the good thing. Before the worst comes, Jesus is coming. Hallelujah. He's going to come and get His church. Right? Well, you sound like an escapist. You got it, baby. Jesus said, pray that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass. That's in that same Gospel of Luke, that same chapter we just read. If we'd went down a few more verses, He said, pray, in which keep yourself spiritually fit so that you're in a place where you can escape all these things that are going to come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. I mean, when the worst happens, I'm going to be standing before the Son of Man. Glory to God. I'm going to be up there at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah. I'm going to be up there feasting and enjoying heaven. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, you know, a lot of my friends, a lot of my preacher friends thinks that Evansville has the best Mexican restaurants of anybody. I agree with them. I mean, we got a lot of good restaurants. Just admit it. I mean, did you know, like, I think it was about 10 years ago, could have been 12 years ago, Evansville was declared the fattest city in America. You and I helped it. Hallelujah. We got all, no, really, seriously, just Google it, man. You'll find it. It's not any longer, thank God. Some of you lost some weight. Anyway, praise God. I'm still working on it. I'll catch up with you. Hang on. Now, help me understand. See, you thank God, and we do. You know, I've got one particular pastor friend, Pastor Eveline, when he comes here. A lot of times I have pastor friends like, where do you want to eat at? Where do you want? And nobody wants to choose. Nobody wants to make up their mind. But he is so easy. I always know where he wants to go. He always wants to go to Los Bravos. It's a piece of cake. I always know. And there's not even a question. That's where we're going. I think that may be one of the reasons why he comes here. Dr. Barclay came one time. He preached two nights for us, you know. And I'm taking him to dinner or something, you know. And, of course, you know, he's a busy guy. You know what I'm saying? And he doesn't just sit still. And this pastor calls him. I mean, I'm here. I'm not eavesdropping, but he's sitting right here. I'm in my truck. He's right here. This guy's pastor calls him. And he asks him, why are you preaching two nights for that guy and you only preach one for me? I love what Dr. Barclay said. He said, because he's got good restaurants. Hallelujah. I said, yeah, take that. He might stay another night. You keep that up. But let me just say something to you. There's nothing like the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. And that's where we're going to be when the worst of this is going on. Amen. But we are, you know, like Jesus said, when these things begin to come to pass, lift up your head, your redemption draws nigh. What we're seeing right now, it seems so bad, so nasty, so ugly, so evil, it's just the beginning. Because that's all he's going to let us stick around for is just the beginning of the thing. Then we're out of here. Glory to God. Now, that makes me want to just about take a lap. Hallelujah. I mean, listen. I don't know. Like a guy, I love this. This guy told Dr. Barclay, he in his church, you know, he said, I believe, Pastor, that we're going through the tribulation. All the way through it. I love what Dr. Barclay said to him. He said, you're not. He said, why not, Pastor? He said, you can't even make it to church now. You won't make it in the tribulation. All right, moving right along. Now, Job chapter 3, did you find that?
Yes.
Verse 25, Job said, for the thing which I greatly feared. See, this thing got a hold of him. See, not just a little bit of fear, but greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. Now, my cross-reference, I've got a Cambridge Bible, and it says this, I feared a fear, and it came upon me. I feared a fear, and it came upon me. Now, what is that saying? Well, just what Job said here, it's very revealing, okay? Job says, you know, there's things that have happened to me. You know, Job went through some things. How many know that? There's things that happened to him, and he just revealed to us, he said, I feared this was going to happen. I was afraid this was going to happen. And he wasn't just a little bit afraid about it. He was greatly afraid of it. See? Amen. That's what he said, right? I mean, you know, I'm not attacking Job because Job deserves double honor. I mean, he stuck it out, right? And you know what? Job is really one of the older characters in the Bible. Job is. He's one of them. Not the older character, but he's an old character in the Bible. Amen. Like Kenny's an old character in our church. Amen. Now, sorry, Brother Kenny. Amen. He's going to get me someday. Anyway. But have you know, Job did not have the New Testament revelation that we have. Did you know Job thought God was doing these things to him? You know, some Christians think God did those things, but the Bible plainly says Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and he struck Job. See? It wasn't God, it was Satan. But Job thinks it's God. Remember he said, shall we not receive good from God and evil as well? Though he slay me, yet I'm going to serve him. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Job said that. God didn't say that. Job said that. You understand that? So Job thinks that. But yet, he said, even if he slays me, I'm going to serve him. In other words, he thinks God's causing his problem, so I'm still going to serve him. Now, we know better than that today. We know God's not our problem. So he deserves double honor for sticking with God, even though he thinks God's causing him his problems. I mean, he just deserves. So I'm not criticizing Job, but I'm just saying he had this fear of this stuff coming on him. And right here, he said, that which I greatly feared. In other words, fear opens a door. Now go to Ephesians chapter. I know we're looking at some scripture this morning, but it'll be good for us. Ephesians chapter 6, I want to show you something. Fear opens doors. What kind of doors does it open? It opens doors for bad things to happen. Because just like faith, I mean, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, without fear, it's impossible to please the devil. They're opposite, right? So by faith, are you saved by grace, are you saved through faith? How does the things of God come? Through faith. How do the things of darkness come, the devil? Through fear. Through fear, it's just the opposite. See, by grace are you saved through faith. Well, all the devil has, it comes through fear. If he can get us afraid, if he can get us in fear in these last days, a lot of that stuff is going to come on us, but it doesn't need to. Amen? Listen, you can be a child of God and still not partake of the fullness of the blessing of God. Paul said, he told the church at Rome, he said, when I come to you, I'm going to come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Well, if there's a fullness of the blessing, that means there's a lesser blessing. But he said, I'm coming with the fullness of it. Don't you like that? Brother Greg, I'm going to walk in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. I don't care how long it takes me to get it done, I'm going to do it. If I'm 89 and a half years old and finally I get there, at least I got there. But I'm going to shoot for the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. There's a fullness to it. Now, Ephesians 6, verse 16, Paul talking about the armor of God. He said, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Does that verse tell me and you that every dart the devil shoots at us can be put out? How many's all? Right? It's like my brother told me one time, he said he was at his Chinese restaurant, and I don't know if he's with the guy. He might have been with the guy. I can't remember the story. But anyway, there was a guy there, and I think he might have been with the guy. And the guy ate, and he ate. It was a buffet. How many like buffets? Oh, yeah. Paul said to buffet your body daily, didn't he? Right. Oh, that's Buffett. Beat. All right. But he said, he's at this Chinese buffet. And he said, he ate and he ate and he ate and he ate. He said, finally, the cook came out of the back and spoke to him. And he said to him, he said, sign say all you can eat, not eat all. How many know what all means? Yeah. All means what? That means anything the devil shoots my way, I should be able to quench it with the shield of faith. It quenches all the fiery darts. And he said, put it out front. See, above all, that word above all means to put it out front. Have it out in front of you. Superimpose it. Have it out in front of you. In other words, that's the first thing the devil runs into is the shield of faith. Hallelujah. My faith's working. Praise God. See, what happens? Well, see, See, faith quenches all the fiery darts of the devil, but fear lets them in. It's just the opposite. If the devil can get me afraid, how many know there's certain things, and we're not being disrespectful. We understand that there's certain things in life are really serious. You know, if you go to the doctor and he tells you you've got cancer or you've got some other dreaded disease. How many know that's bad news, right? That's a bad report, right? We're not making a liar of that. But here's the thing. We have to decide we're not going to let fear take us out. Because what the devil, the bad news you just got, the devil will give, he'll give you bad news. He'll just get you in fear. That way he can bring the whole blunt of the thing on you. But I've known many people in this church, Terry for one, others, that have gotten the bad news, cancer. You know, this is probably going to take you out, probably going to die, and they're still alive years later. Why? Because they refuse to fear that. See, the Bible says, the Bible tells us, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It goes on to say, yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil. See, we're to fear. Well, you know, the only thing we're to fear, I mean, the only thing we're to fear as believers is God. And that word fear means to reverence, respect, honor, right? So we're not supposed to fear bad reports. We're not supposed to respect it doesn't mean we ignore them and act like they're not true and don't do anything about them, but we don't respect that. We don't respect that report. We respect the report of the Lord. His report says, I am healed. That report, I'm not saying that report is not true. It's just not the truth. It may be so. Maybe I do have that in my body. Maybe I do have that wrong with me. But I'm not going to fear that. I'm going to fear God. And He said some things about me. I'm going to fear that. I'm going to reverence that. I'm going to give that place in my life. I'm not going to lay in my bed and moan and groan, oh, what's my gosh, why'd this happen to me? No, I'm going to get up and get my Bible. Amen. I'm going to look at the Word of God. And I'm going to feed on the Scriptures just like I'm doing right now. Praise God. Amen. I've got them by my side there, the healing Scriptures by my chair typed out. I had them all tabbed in my Bible, and I thought, you know, I could save some time if I'd type all that. Well, not type them out. Paste them out. Paste, you know what I'm saying? Cut and paste. Thank you. Copy and paste. Copy and paste. Thank you, man. You're making me look good. Amen. Copy and paste, guys. Don't you know what copy and paste is? I copy and paste them. I got them all copied and pasted now. And on three sheets of paper. I just read them now. Why? That's what I'm going to reverence. I'm not going to I'm not going to reverence the evil report. I'm going to reverence God and His report. If I reverence that evil report will take me out. Can you do one more scripture? Revelations 1. I meant to close before now. I got some things to pray about this morning, but we'll move along with the Lord here. Is that all right? Come on, let's just stick with it. Amen. Revelation chapter 1. This is our last scripture today. Revelation chapter 1. So fear opens a door, the shield of faith closes it. It stops all the fiery darts of the devil. In Revelation chapter 1, go with me to verse 17. This is the Apostle John. It says, and when I saw him, he saw Jesus, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. I am. Didn't anybody watch the Ten Commandments? I am that I am. Remember, who do you say? Say, I am. This is what Jesus says. I am the first and the last. I am he that lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I, notice this, have the keys of hell and of death. Now, what do you think he's saying to John? Fear not, I am in charge. I've got control. But what do we got to do? If he's going to have control in our life, we got to do just what he said. Fear not. Fear not. Trust the I am. Now that's good preaching. Trust the I am. What is he? Well, he. Now me and let me use bad English. He am my healing. He am my deliverer. Come on, work with me, people. That's what he, what is he? I am. What? I am what you need me to be. What do you need me to be in your life? That's what I am. So when bad reports come, I just look to the I am. What? He's the first and the last. You know, doctors say, well, man, you only got 6 months to live. This cancer is going to kill you. Well, I respect, you know, thank you, doc, for what you found. I'm not saying you made a bad diagnosis. Not at all. I wouldn't have come to you if I didn't need you. But here's the thing. Jesus is the first and the last. Jesus is the one that lives. He was dead, but he's alive, and he's alive forevermore. Jesus, amen. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Come on now. Are you with me now? See, what he has the final say. I'm going to let him have the final say in my life. Come on, are you with me now? He has the keys of hell and death. Not you, Doc. Thank you, sir. You don't have those. You don't have those. He does. And I'm not going to fear. I'm going to be in faith. Amen. In these last days, as things come down, you can close your Bibles. In these last days, as things begin to come, things begin to happen, we got to remember that. He's in charge. Come on up, Jill. He's in charge of our lives if we allow him to have control.
Right.
Amen? If we just let him. How do you let him? Well, one thing, Paul said, casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. Hallelujah. That means I don't carry it, I let him have it. Amen. But if you don't cast it, he doesn't have it. You got to give it to him. Amen. I hope you got encouraged this morning. Look, hey, we're in the last of the last days. You know, there's nothing we can do about it except believe God. Feed on this every day. Hallelujah. Build your faith up. Amen. You say, well, how do I know what I am? You know, if you're new at this, you know, if you're new at this, you're like, well, man, I don't know. You know, I read the Bible. I don't see all this stuff that you see. Yeah, well, listen, you got to dig a little bit. Why don't you get your little book by Brother Hagin called In Him. It's a real simple title. Everybody say, In Him.
In Him.
I mean, that's not a hard title to remember, right? In Him. If you get that little mini book, it's just a little mini book. I don't know, we may have some here, and we don't have any. It's just a little mini book. And all he did, Brother Hagin did, was he went through, like, I think maybe 137, maybe something like that, scriptures in the New Testament that say, In Him. And it tells you what you have in Him. Hallelujah. You need to know what you have in Him. Because if you don't know what you have in Him, the devil will take advantage of you. But when you know what belongs to you, hallelujah, He can't take property from you. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.